I'd like to open. Last week, I forgot to pray. I was praying before I got up, but I didn't spend some time. So let's open in a word of prayer, please. Father, I'm thanking you just for our health and our ability to spend this morning together as a body of believers. I'm thankful for the way you've blessed our lives. And I pray as we spend time in your word and prayerfully just consider how it should be impacting these lives you've given us, Lord, that your spirit will speak to us and it will be very clear and that you'll be able to help us continue to grow in you. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, this was a four-week thing that got shortened by one snow event, so now it's a three-week effort, and we're wrapping up this week. And I just want to tell you that what I've been trying to share is really critical, I believe, to have a life lived for the Lord. You gotta clean the inside. You gotta think in a spirit-inspired way. You really have to have the Spirit of God talking to you, I believe, on a continuous basis. And to try and break down that really big thought into just 4 weeks was a challenge. These cards, again, last week I emphasized, this is not just academic. I'm really trying to speak to you in a way that is as clear as you are here, map, and then you kind of know how to navigate to move forward. So this week, because we're trying to wrap up, I'm going to cover two of these things today, and the two we're going to cover is Jesus the Word, and also this one that just has flesh, soul, and spirit on it, with some red coming down from the top right and black from the bottom left. You'll see that in just a second. So I think we even got a new look. The clicker's even working today. We're in good shape. So this past week, if you can just turn the lights down a little bit more, we'll be able to see just a bit more. And what I want you to notice is there's some red highlight. Maybe turn it up just a little bit, but there's some red highlights on some of these words, and I probably could have done a better job if I was better with graphics. But the idea of, I accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but that doesn't make me a 100% practicing Christian that moment. For the Word of God to saturate you and really change the way you think, it takes time. And I think, again, getting into this decision cycle, it really takes God influencing you and making an impact on you. So I think I've always had a red letter Bible. And the red letters were the words that are attributed directly to Christ. But I will say to you that a big takeaway is that if Jesus is the way, and the eternal way, if Jesus is the wisdom, then the wisdom was speaking in the Old Testament as much as the New Testament. And if Jesus is the Word, and this is the Word of God, I believe, then there's a lot of red letters throughout this whole Bible. And telling you a story about how somebody was in a circumstance and the discernment or judgment they used that might have been worldly instead of godly, and then the results of that is very much instructive. Or a person that got in another situation and they did use godly discernment and judgment or godly wisdom and they walked a different path. That's instructive. And I believe there's a lot of Old Testament accounts there with people whose names we can't pronounce. But they're there for a reason, and if for no other reason, it is to give us godly wisdom, godly discernment, godly judgment about how they chose and how it resulted, the impact of it. And so that's the reason today we're going to talk about Jesus the Word. But what we've talked about in the past weeks of Jesus the Way, with the main thought being that Christ-like love. If that Christ-like love isn't really core in your values, you will never walk as a successful Christian, as a fruitful Christian. The idea of loving the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength means you're loving yourself with how much? You know, if I'm loving with all over here, then how much do I have left over here? And it's being selfless. So does anybody want to raise their hands and say they've arrived? You know, that we're selfless? No. So the idea of loving with all your heart, your soul, your mind, your strength is not this order from your parent of thou shalt clean thy room. It is this advice that, look, you're going to be happier if you'll love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. And a big part of the heart, the soul, the mind is this inside. It's where your values are at. And that's what we're trying to get at with the whole concept of spiritual decision making. So Jesus the Way says that the starting point for all of this is Christ-like love. If that's not a key, if not core value in your life, it needs to be. And quite honestly, that would be something that God would be talking to you about for starters. And not in a, you're going to get spanking or you got to tend to merits or you got time out. It's more, you're going the wrong way. And then the second week, Jesus the Wisdom really broke down wisdom into this concept of discernment and judgment. We talked a little bit about the fact that you don't get degrees in wisdom, you get degrees in education. Big difference between education, which imparts knowledge to you, but knowledge that is conceptual but not experiential is totally different. I can walk out of a school by knowing how to pass tests, I can get degrees. But that has nothing to do with wisdom. Wisdom is discernment and judgment of how to apply this academic knowledge in a meaningful way that helps me navigate through difficult circumstances. And again, I can point to the Old Testament. It's chock full of stories about people that tried to use discernment and judgment, but it wasn't always of God. And we're going to talk today and see a lot about the differences between godly wisdom and worldly wisdom and how far apart they are. To the point that I am personally convinced that the only wisdom is from God. And I say that because only God has an eternal perspective on how we fit in this time and place. So I believe that God is wisdom. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one, the Trinity. So Jesus the Wisdom was this idea of having Christ-like discernment and judgment in our lives today. And you know what? It isn't something you have to go to school for 10 years. It isn't that you have to earn a degree and then you're given the wisdom. No, it is God. Jesus says, I will come to you. I will be with you. I will bring to you the remembrance of what I've said. That is the way that Jesus gives us discernment and judgment as we walk through. And guess what? Prayer isn't some sort of magical thing. Prayer is just having a conversation with God. And you know, one verse you ought to write down, 1 Kings 3:9, that's Solomon praying for wisdom. That is a prayer you can pray, and I will guarantee it that God wants to answer that prayer in your life. If you will pray for discernment, for judgment, for wisdom, God will answer that. He will answer that. And so that's Jesus the Wisdom. And today we're going to talk about Jesus the Word. And the whole Bible is filled with Jesus the Word. So I've just been picking out a couple of verses, but the one that stands out most to me is in John. In the beginning was the Word. And so now, right away, you ought to be thinking about Genesis 1, but in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. So picture Jesus, but instead of calling him Jesus, let's call him the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Nothing came into being apart from Him. All things came into being through Him, and nothing came into being apart from Him. In Him was the life, and the life was the light of man. And again, we talked a little bit about last week, in Him. Now, why do they call it a Him? But yet in Proverbs, Him is a He, is a She, because it's wisdom. And why did God make us male and female, both in His image? And we were talking about this idea of monogamy, of what God has joined together, let no man separate. This idea that adultery is not about physical adultery, it's about spiritual adultery. This idea that we are intended to be the bride of Christ. And boy, that's hard to see. Because so much of our mind is filled with sexual-related stuff that we know from the world perspective instead of we are both made in God's image. And we're supposed to be monogamous with Christ. We are the bride of Christ. Let us not have any spiritual adultery going on in our life. We talked about this. So in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. The Word was God. And all things came into being by Him. And apart from Him, nothing comes into being that has come into being. Nothing has come into being that has come into being. Do you believe that? In Him was the life, and the life was the light of men. In Him was the light, and the light was the light of men. And then John 1:14 says, and He became flesh. 2,000 years ago, He was a little baby. I don't know if He had a little hat on with a red coat, but He was a little baby in Israel. And He grew up. And and He became flesh, and He dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory. Glory is from the only Father, full of grace and truth. So that's what we're going to talk about today, the Word, Jesus the Word. So what I'm trying to focus on is this thought. This would be the wrap-up. This is what we're going to talk about next week, but we've run out because of snow. We took a snow day, and so now we're going to talk about it all at once. So if Jesus is the way, the wisdom, and the Word, now it's highlighted in red, I want to take you with this picture and show those two different points. God's desire. Gosh, if I could summarize all of God's desire in one verse, gosh, that's a pretty bold step, Kevin. I don't know if we should try that, but if I'm going to summarize God's desire in one verse, maybe it might be that verse that's down the right side. Because this is what Jesus prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane right before He went to the cross. And Jesus is saying, I and them, Jesus Christ and us, we're the bride of Christ, Jesus and us, and God the Father in Jesus, that they, that is us, might be perfected in unity. The word perfected is matured. The word perfected is to full growth. And we are perfected in unity. I in them and thou in me, that they may be perfected in unity. And what's the next part? That the world may know. The world may know that thou, God the Father, sent me, God the Son, and God the Father loves them even as God the Father loves God the Son. Do you see that? What a powerful purpose that God the Father had in sending God the Son, that God the Son volunteered for and said, let me go do this. Here am I, send me. You know, that thought, that power. That's a lot of love, and that's a lot of communication. And what isn't it powerful? What is probably one of the most important things you can do for your child? To let them know that you love them. You know, and again, why did God make us man and woman? Why does He tell us what two separate, let no man separate, what God has put together, let man separate? Why does He give us children? It teaches us about how God the Father loves His children. And we'll do, you know, do anything to try and help them understand that. So if I could summarize all of God's desire in one verse, it might be John 17:23. And yet then there's man's desire down on the bottom end. So the purpose of this card is to say, John 3 says, Nicodemus, do you not know that you were born of the flesh? And do you not know that you need to be born again? Born of the Spirit? And what I see in my own life is this battle with a little slice down the middle. I'm a child of God. I've been born again. But just because I've been born of the Spirit, even though I ask the Spirit to speak to me, it doesn't mean I listen. Gosh, have your kids ever, do they listen to you all the time? You know, Matt, do the kids listen to you in physics all the time? You're a great teacher. Why not? You know, did you listen all the time in school? Do you listen to every person you interface with? No. So the Spirit of God is trying to give you the wisdom of God. Do you listen? Well, maybe not all the time. Okay, maybe we'll get that. Maybe not all the time. So this is battle, this man's desire pushing up from the bottom left, God's desire coming down from above, trying to, in a non-forceful way, tell you, this is really what you ought to be doing. You know, God doesn't force Himself upon us. This is really what you ought to think about. And slowly, over many years, it starts to seep in. And so some of those red letters, if you would, become more important. So the idea of this is that the red letters saturating and in to a degree overcoming that selfish desire that's on the inside. That's the purpose of this chart. Now, if you look at the one that you have, there's a couple more good things on it, and I won't spend time on it because I want to get to Jesus the Word. But when we talked about Jesus the Way, of the difference between being a lover of self, a lover of money, a lover of pleasure, which, oh, by the way, are all on the left side of this. If you stay in the flesh, I will guarantee you that's what you'll become. I will tell you that if you stay in the flesh, you are going to become a lover of self, a lover of pleasure, a lover of money. That's what you're going to be. A lot of different forms of that. But if you want to be a lover of God, you got to listen to the Spirit of God speaking to you. And then there's a really great verse in Matthew. It's Matthew 26:41. It says, Jesus is saying to them, and this is right before he's going to the cross. He says, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Thanks for that, Lord. I appreciate that. I appreciate you acknowledging the fact the Spirit is willing, Kevin, but the flesh is weak. And then for me, I'm a disciplinarian, so what I hear next is, get with it, will you? Just do it. Now, not everybody hears that, but I'm just a disciplined guy. Okay, I can do this. We can do this. Maybe somebody needs to be cuddled a little bit more or encouraged a little bit. It's different people, different ways, but for me, the Spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. So just come on, get your act together, will you? And the bottom part of this card that you have here, it also says, and He will give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit. And I believe that part more than anything. I have seen in my life how God has brought life, eternal value, to this mortal life that I have. And that was this talk we had last fall about, don't have a life of physical existence, have one of spiritual significance. And as the more the red letters saturate your soul, the more your life will have spiritual significance and not just physical existence. So the soul is what God created. If you go back to Genesis, and we're going to move on. Jesus, God created man's flesh. And then He breathed life into it. And it's so cool. I mean, when does a baby first breathe? After the birth process, right? Isn't that neat? Yeah, so the flesh is there, but the breath of life comes in. And God breathed life into you. And that is the Spirit of God, that God has breathed life into you. And we can take all of that and hang out on the left side of this chart and spend the whole time in the flesh and think we're smart. And that's what God says, oh, wait a second. And that's what we'll get into today. So that's Jesus, the Word, the Way, the Wisdom, and how I believe across time it is always trying to have a red letter impact on your heart and on your soul and on your life. But it requires for you to want to listen in physics class, which, gosh, who wants to listen in physics? Come on. So Matt does. Matt wants you to. So in that analogy, Matt's God, and we're not. So all right, good. So here's this idea. Now I throw in this spiritual decision making, but just so that you can think about this is where you are here. You are in the middle of this spiritual decision making. You're there every day of whether or not you really want to listen to the Spirit of God. And we talked about this very simplistic and yet complete thing of OODA, observe, orient, decide, act, which is what you do all the time, always making decisions. You're always making decisions. But if you have no spiritual input in there, you will never make Spirit-filled decisions. You have to have a spiritual input in there. So we've broken this out, and kind of hidden behind there is a heart and a head, and the head represents not just your mind, but really, this is powerful for me. I don't know if it's as powerful in you. I grew up in the 60s when we first landed on the moon, and so I was a young, impressionable kid that really wanted to be an astronaut. So my science fair project, Matt, when I was in eighth grade was an Apollo 11, and it was a full-size thing, was almost as tall as I was. It was about this big, and I knew every part of the Apollo 11, and that was my science fair project, and I got an A, and boy, I thought, anyway, so you get the idea. But the purpose of the story is just to say, my aspiration for character was rooted in this idea of being a pilot, of being an astronaut, of doing that. So what is your aspiration as a for your character? Your character is not just who you are today, but it also is what you aspire to be. And if you really aspire to be that person, then you're really called to task of how much do you really aspire to this. And the easiest one is, and we've all been there, you know, I'm going to lose 10 pounds. Okay, all right, what's next? You know, I'm going to get in better shape. I'm going to run a marathon. These are all the New Year's resolution things, right? Come on. Now, some of us run marathons. Good job. You know, you get the idea. We get a lot of aspirations, and sometimes it's not really rooted in something. But I want to tell you that a spirit-based aspiration to be more godly every year, to grow in godliness, that is something God wants to answer. And if you pray about it, God will help you. I won't go into that. But this is the idea of spiritual decision-making. If you are convinced that God can change your life and turn it into something of spiritual significance, then it has now entered into your orientation filter. And you go, I really want to do this. I really want to do this. And it's become a priority. If it becomes a priority to you, then it will begin to impact your decision making. And that's powerful. That's a great first step. And these are the red letter things are supposed to be genetic. Well, beginning to learn spiritual discipline, not just physical discipline. Well, I mean, the idea is, I really want to do this. I really want to go here. Well, then, but the Bible says I really shouldn't do some of that stuff. But the world says, yeah, but the Bible says. I could give a lot of examples. But just this morning, I like Randy Travis. I like a lot of country music. But country music is not how you should guide your life, okay? You know? And Randy Travis, in this one song I was listening to this morning, says he has this one song that was On the Other Hand. And it's basically about a guy who's thinking about having an affair. But the thing that's holding him back, on the other hand, is a golden band. I won't sing, but you know, it's about he's remembering his wife and how the fact that he's made a promise, so I'm not going to participate in this. But it's a decision process going on in Randy Travis's head. And the idea, if you want God to influence your life, then you need some spiritual discipline. And I don't know how many of you, I won't ask for a show of hands, but we read a recommendation through the month of January that you'd read a chapter in John and a chapter in Proverbs every day. And maybe a lot of you made 30 out of 30, or up to, 27th today, maybe 27 out of 27, I don't know. It's not about that, but what's the broad stroke look? Have you really even wanted to try and do it? And if you don't really want to because you feel it's an academic test, I don't really want to do this, all right, well, then pray about that. Don't feel guilted. Feel convicted. And what God wants to talk to you about is, well, why don't you really want to? Why? And let's talk about that. You know, I said this last week, taking every thought captive to the obedience of Christ, I used to perceive it as something that I had to do. Now it's something I want to. And quite honestly, I'll have conversations with God all day long. Now, some people might think I'm crazy, but I have conversations with God all day long about, well, why do I feel this way? Why are you allowing this, Lord? And having those frank conversations, I believe God talks to me about that, and He talks to me through the Word a lot of times. And He talks to me through spiritual people, Christian people, and says powerful things. And I'll tell you what, that's why I thank God for a godly marriage. Because, you know, I won't... Allison, God talks to me from Allison sometimes. So, learning spiritual discipline, you know, cultural, the worldly influences, we get caught up on that. They should be countered by godly influences. The experiences, the power of faith, hope, and love in your life. As you begin to build those up, you begin to see, man, this is good. This is a good way for me to go. And now all of a sudden, now you're really getting into cleaning the inside. God's got it, and you even begin to, hey, let's clean up this room, Lord. Let's go clean up this part over here. Let's work on this. And that's where you begin to see faith and love weighing in as being the most important things that should shape your decision. And then as you make a decision, the synthesis is, okay, what are we going to do? It's action-based. Our Christian faith isn't meant to be a bunch of head knowledge. It's meant to be action-based. You can serve without loving, but you can't love without serving. So, okay, that's the thought. Now, So the more you begin to get that, the more you go, boy, I want to get over in that right lane. I want the love of Christ not only to convict me and compel me, I want it to control me. I want it to be the thing that people see. I aspire more to be a loving person than I do to be Kevin Kennedy, the whatever. I don't want a bio that's just about me. I'd rather be, here am I, send me, doing what God would have me to do, right? So that's getting over in the right lane. Jesus, the wisdom, we talked about this, and I didn't really, there's so many things I could talk about on each one of these charts, but I have two arrows on there. One arrow is the Spirit trying to work on the bottom arrow, which is Kevin Kennedy. The Spirit of God's trying to work in me. Say, Kevin, hey, you ready to listen a little bit today? Do you want to know why you're running into these struggles? Are you just, do you want to get well? What a great question. The guy's been sick for 38 years. Jesus says, do you want to get well? Well, I've been sick for 63 years. Do you want to get well? No, not really, not today. Let's save it for another time. Let's be honest with God. Do you want to get well? He can help you. So the Spirit of God is trying to teach you, teaching, reproof, correction, training, and righteousness. There's another whole set of acronyms in there. I'll summarize those set of acronyms in just a couple of words. This one professor, very well-known professor, I don't know if you know him or not, but anyway, he teaches at a big, high-name Ivy League school. He said, everything you've ever thought about, known, summarized in three categories. I go, okay, you got my attention. They are things you know you don't know, and things you don't even know that you don't know. Okay, so we're not going to talk about that, but these three categories, this idea of things that I know I don't know I'm not a doctor, I know I don't know much about cancer, I know what it is, but I don't know much about it, and then things, unknown, subjects that I could bring up a word, and you would have no idea what I'm even talking about. That's an unknown. All right, three categories. And the idea, well, how that applies is that we've talked about this a little bit before. The first time I want to drive a car, I think I can drive, but I get behind the wheel, I have no idea how this all works. And I don't have the hand-eye coordination to make it work. So now I go from, well, I won't even start. So they're on the bottom of the things. I go from an unknown to a known unknown to eventually two. You get the idea. We can talk about that separately. Ask me questions separately. It takes up too much time to talk about it here. But the idea of teaching, reproof, correction for training in righteousness is the same way we are taught. It's four major learning stages. If you want to look up four stages of learning, those are the categories that I've talked about, going from an unconscious incompetency to a conscious incompetency to a conscious competency to an unconscious competency. No time to unpack that. Next slide. So now I really want to talk about Jesus the Word. And if you would, if you have the Bible, you might just want to open up to this. But I can just read it if you don't. So Isaiah 55 is an absolutely fantastic set of verses that talk about Jesus the Word. Isaiah 55, 6 through 11. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. Okay, imagine the left-hand side of that chart. Let the wicked forsake his way. Quit living for yourself. Let the unrighteous man his thoughts. So get rid of that worldly way of thinking. And let him return to the Lord, the right side. And he, the Lord, will have compassion on him. And return to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. God is such a forgiving, loving. Is there anything your child would do that you wouldn't forgive him for? You know, and he will abundantly pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. What do you mean, God? For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. For as the rain and snow come down from heaven and do not return there without watering the earth, and making it bear and sprout, and furnishing seed to the sower, and bread to the eater, so shall my word be, which goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty. God has a plan to help us get smart about spiritual insight, and that is the word. So I'm going to take you back up to the verse 8. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, for as the heavens are higher than the earth. So, I remember this young kid who was infatuated with space. The closest star is Alpha Centauri. And nobody, who cares about the closest star is Alpha Centauri? But on your little card here, I even told you how far away it is. It is 26.2 trillion miles away from the Earth. Allison doesn't even like to drive with me cross country, 600 miles, much less 26.2 trillion miles. So that's a long ways away. All right, now, what does that have to do with anything? Well, in 1977, when I was at the United States Air Force Academy, we launched a spacecraft called the Voyager. And it had some nuclear-powered power source, so it will last a long time. And it has been traveling at about, let me get my card here, 38,000 miles an hour. Anybody ever gone that fast? That's a lot. That's pretty fast. So 38,000 miles an hour for the last 42 years. That's pretty fast. And so if it was on a trajectory towards Alpha Centauri, and it's not, but if it was on a trajectory towards Alpha Centauri, it's been on its way doing 900,000 miles a day. Oh, man, that odometer is cranking. 900,000 miles a day, 331 million miles a year. That's how fast it's going towards Alpha Centauri. Pretty fast. It's going to be there overnight, right? 42 years. Do you know how far along it is? Less than 1% of the way. As the heavens are above the earth, so are my thoughts above your thoughts, and my ways above your ways. It's been going for 42 years. It's traveled 13.5 billion miles away from the earth, and it is less than 1% of the way to Alpha Centauri. Not to mention that it's on the wrong vector anyway, so it's never going to go to Alpha Centauri. But the idea you get, right, is it is less than 1% of the way. It would only take it, I hope I wrote it down, maybe I didn't. It's going to take it 74,000 years to get there. So God's ways are 74,000 years higher than my ways. I mean, think about this, the physics of it, okay? To me, this is just huge. God's ways are far higher than my ways, and His thoughts are far higher than my thoughts, and His words are far more important than my words are. So that those red letters ought to really be seeping in. What do you mean by this? What a great instructor. So 1 Corinthians 2:9, I'll just read these to you. It's kind of important to identify these axes. So 1 Corinthians 2:8-9 says that the wisdom, 7 says, we speak God's wisdom, which is a mystery, the hidden wisdom, which is really interesting, a hidden wisdom, which God predestined before the ages to our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood. For if they would have understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it's written, things that the eye has not seen, the Voyager can no longer see the earth. Okay, it's 42 years away. Last time it could see the earth was about, 4 years ago. Can't see the earth anymore. It's too far away. All right. Things the eye has not seen, the ear has not heard, and which have not even entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love Him. So that is definitely in a category of unknown unknowns. That's why wisdom is way over here on the right side, and on your chart it's over above a thing called unknown unknowns. And then the axis to the north, or to the up, 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 17. Therefore, we do not lose heart, for though our outer man, even at 60, is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison. We look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. You want to live for something that's real? Live for eternal values. Because you're just in time. You're just here, bottom left corner. And there are thoughts and ways that are at least 74,000 times bigger than you. Job learned this in the book of Job. So those are the axes. This is God's purpose. Just in what we know about Alpha Centauri and the Voyager, we can't get there except for the fact that God reaches out to us and He desires for His Spirit to speak to you and give you wisdom and teach you about the way and give you His Word. So why are we resistant? Why do we not want to do it? So it's time for me to wrap up. 3 points of application about the Jesus, the way, the wisdom, the Word. I've talked about these try to do this each week, but the idea of if you don't have a spiritual discipline of a quiet time, if you don't have a spiritual discipline of getting the Word of God into your life, you know, I can't help you. You know, you gotta want to get the Word of God in your life. And if you don't want to, then pray about that. You know, God, help me develop an appetite for your Word. I would say to you, if you really don't want to, stay in Proverbs and John. Those are probably two of the most applicable books where everything in there just rings out to you. If you were going to shift away from John, then shift to another gospel. But shift to Proverbs and Matthew. And then shift to Proverbs and Luke. You know, but read through the Gospels and read in Proverbs, because Proverbs, I guarantee you, even one chapter of Proverbs every day is too much. Because every single Proverb's got something to tell us. Every piece of that, each verse. You know, but go back to this chart and remember what it's telling you. There's a difference between wisdom from God versus instruction that God's given you versus knowledge that we're hearing academically versus understanding experientially, and understanding which comes a piece at a time. All right? It comes a piece at a time. All right? The second one, name the ministries God has given you. I think it has really been helpful for me not to think about Kevin Kennedy, the pilot. When I was 23, I was a single guy flying airplanes three times a day, but it wasn't about Kevin Kennedy, the pilot. It was about the ministry that God had given me in the United States Air Force. I've always tried to think about what is the ministry that God's given you. And it might be a ministry at a company. It might be a ministry at... But I break it down. I think that God's given me a ministry as a father. He's given me a ministry as a husband. He's given me a ministry as a worker. He's given me a ministry in a church. And just a ministry as a human being, as a man. I have a ministry. I've got five different areas of ministry. And the more I look at it as God's ministry that He's given me for this time and place, the more I begin to get a sense of, well, what does God want me to do in this ministry? Instead of, the more I look at it as my life, then I begin to say, well, what do I want to do? And that gets to the third one. Is often our use of pronouns really tells a lot about our heart. Is it my house, my car, my life, my decision, my... Is it mine and me and I? Or is it a life that God's given me? The health that God has graciously given me? Is it the way of life God's allowed for me? Is it... And it's not just changing the words, it's the heart condition. So that's the third one. So you guys, it has really been fun doing this, and I hope it's been helpful. But Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is the wisdom. And He says, I am the way, the truth, and life. All men will know that you're my disciples if you have love for me. The wisdom, Solomon got it right. He says he prayed to God, so give thy servant an understanding heart to judge the people, discern between good and evil. God wants to give you the wisdom to navigate through life. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, glory as the only Father, full of grace and truth. But I got to go to John 3, and it says, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. So that's a shameful thing. Let us not love the darkness more than the light. Let us love the Lord. And thanks very much for giving me a chance to walk through that with you. Here are some table questions for you. Thank you.